And welcome to our show, Geeks Riot Podcast, where we're talking about video games, TV, comic books, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things. And I'm your host, Bill, and this week we have another host, and he shall be known as Anthony.
Hello.
And you can contact us by emailing us at geeksriot@gmail.com or give us a voicemail or a text message at 801-896-GEEK. Also is 801-896-4335. You also can help support us by going to our Patreon at patreon.com/geeksriot, where you get access to the podcast early, and you gain access to the Geeks or Wireless episodes. The extra Patreon onlys. So we're gonna start things off. There was a goodness normal phone launch event.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It was actually somebody was like, oh, we're going to show our phone off and we're going to see what you all think about it.
And is this OnePlus?
The OnePlus, yes. So the OnePlus 8 released their information and ended up having the released the let everyone talk about, because there had been people saying on it, so the gag order had been lifted as well. So they talked about it and then everyone started reviewing it. But watching the press release, got to watch that live. It was really good. It was interesting. You kind of, you know, they still do that good, you know, draw it out. You see in the chat, you're like, what's the price? And of course, they hold it to the end. Got to hold it till the end.
But, you know, so is it like a surprise thing? Or?
You got to hold that till the end, remember?
No, I mean, like, was the actual event a surprise or was it known that it was going to happen?
Oh, it was known it was going to happen. Because if you subscribe to their newsletters, they had been announcing it for at least a couple of weeks that I knew of. And if you went to the website, same thing. So I'd subscribe. You know, I was like, oh, hey, I'm going to hop on this. Feel like it may have been a month back. I was hearing somebody that's into the OnePlus talk about it. And plus, they had released phones to reviewing to websites or blogs or places that review that type of stuff.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Were they just not allowed to post the reviews before that, or?
Correct.
Okay, but they could post it as soon as it went live.
Yeah, they got to play around with it. They got to do everything they want, but they had a gag order up until after the event was over.
Yeah, that's
normal. So they're in the show notes. Also, so we're going to post in the show notes the event. You can watch the reviews that others have, but if you just want to hear the TLDR of it, the phone is really, you know, I feel like did really, really well and has set the bar fairly well. Of course, Apple just literally released their information on it too, their pre-orders. So that's another thing that actually just happened. We might get to that one in a moment. But OnePlus has a very good phone to start the year off. It has Wi-Fi 6. It has 5G. I still want to look into the Bluetooth, but I'm pretty sure it has decent Bluetooth.
Well, it'd be weird if it didn't have decent Bluetooth, because that would be the only thing it didn't have.
Well, okay, remember, I have some, like, you know, some things when it comes to the terms of decent Bluetooth.
What do you mean?
Because there's different parts, you know, yes, it's Bluetooth 5.1, but there is additional parts that make Bluetooth better and worse.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Usually you have to dig to get that information. Like, how fast is the audio? How fast does it transmit the audio? How high is the quality? All these little things. Like, even though it's Bluetooth 5.1, doesn't mean it's the best Bluetooth 5.1.
I think if it's 5.1, it still has to be fairly fast.
It is, but there's better.
Well, yeah,
There's
there's
good.
better. There's some that let you, like, it'll broadcast the, it's basically zero latency. Like, it's as close to zero latency as they can probably get.
There's good. There's better. There's best. And I was still going to look into those to make sure, because I admit I'm kind of interested in it. This is the first time they've actually given an IP rating on them. So they paid the $20 per device to get the IP rating on it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's surprising because I didn't ever do that before.
Well, that's what made them cheap, but I think it's the thing that also made them not as popular on certain people.
Yeah, because people don't know that they're actually like rated for that. They're just not officially rated for that.
Correct.
They just don't think it's possible at all, or that it's good at all.
Yeah, without those that without the stamp of, I paid to get this tested, then yeah. And what now that they, because so they have the hole punch camera on the front, which means there are no more pop-up camera, but that did make it lighter. That did make it actually more waterproof. So this one is a better for that. They worked with Sony to get their camera. And that's actually the thing that most people are complaining about, though. Like, everything is still good on it. Like, the entry level, the OnePlus is a good, or OnePlus 8 is a good phone. You don't have to go pro unless you really, really want the, or unless you want the extra battery, the want the little, the 900 refresh rate to the 12 or 120 refresh rate. The little bit, teeny tiny little bit bigger screen, a little bit better quality, things like that. They both have 8 or 12 gigs of RAM. Little bit tweaks in that. They still both have the 30-watt fast charging. The Pro has the wireless 30-watt fast charging. That's if you want the wireless. The front-facing camera is exactly the same. The rear camera is a little bit better. They both have the 5G Snapdragon Wi-Fi or 5G in it, so it's good with that. They both have Wi-Fi 6, which is the latest and greatest. It's coming out. They both have on-screen fingerprint sensors. Oh, okay. And so I guess it's, I thought it was the, both of them were actually IP rated. Apparently only the Pro is IP rated. The Pro is IP68,
Interesting,
which,
so they didn't pay for the other one.
yeah, that might be why the other one is the price range it is. So
What's the price difference between a regular and a non-pro? Sorry, a pro, a regular and a pro version.
it's for the side by side comparing the, if you're going to put look at the storage, the 128 or the 256 gig storage as the comparison, there are $200 differences. But they, so in other words, the OnePlus 8, and also I guess there's also the RAM too. So it'll, the OnePlus 8, the bottom model, OnePlus 8, has 8 gigs of RAM and 128 gigs of storage. And just going to say it this way instead of the rounding thing, it's $700. They say $699, rounding up a dollar at people.
Yeah.
$700. The 12 gigs of RAM and 256 gigs of storage is $800. The then you step into the Pro range. That's where you drop the RAM back down and the memory and the storage back down to 8 gigs of RAM and 128 gigs of storage. That's $900. And then 12 gigs of RAM and 256 gig storage, $1,000.
$1,000 for all that.
The camera could be better. So if you care about the camera, this is not the phone for you. I was actually reading about some stuff about the 7s. 7s still mm-hmm. have their warranties. They're still pretty decent phones, though they do weigh a little bit more. It depends on how much weight you care about the weight and everything. It has the hole punch front-facing camera on this one, while the old ones had the pop-up front-facing camera. But that's like waterproofness differences. There's also minor waterproofness. They both still come with the special OnePlus cases that you get with them, which also come in. And that's, oh yeah, there's also the colors. I guess there's a difference in that, because there's the Pro gets exclusive awesome colors that the regular one doesn't.
What colors? Like,
let's see. The OnePlus 8 gets in the 8 gigs of RAM and 128 gig storage is glacial green. In the 12 gigs of RAM and 256 gig storage, it's interstellar glow. Kind of looks like, I think it's kind of a... Well, I think it's just another black.
Oh, so on the...
But it's...
An Antech, or however you say that, article is yeah, is that top one the like oh. It has the very picture on there. Is that that green color?
Green is glacial green.
Oh yeah, okay, it is. That's not so a bad.
Scroll to the bottom of that article.
Does it show all of them?
It does. It explains the colors. So oh. So in the 8 gigs. With the Pros, the 8 gigs and 128, you have glacial green. In the 12 and 25, you have ultramarine blue and onyx black.
I'm not sure if I go between the green or the ultramarine blue.
And I thought the interstellar was maybe it's not as black as the onyx black, but I thought that's what they were showing. I'm not seeing on this website. Maybe it's their, like, yeah, maybe it's the pinkish one. Kind of has this little shiny pinkish color to it.
Oh, the interstellar glow?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting. But that's only on the OnePlus 8.
Well, that's if you want that. Type of you know that color, but I'm not, you know, not super worried about the color. Everything is also 5G, which everyone's working towards. You know, there's everyone's trying to get their own chips now. I think people are trying to walk away from Qualcomm because of how much they owe the market. Because now, you know, last week you talked about Apple making their own chips in house. Now Google seems to be doing that, or at least making noise about it.
Yeah, I saw that. I noticed that.
Which, so good that news, course. You know, open up the market. So they also could be trying to make Qualcomm not, you know, control them as much. But we're still, and if Google does do that, they're not going to have new chips in their mobile phones for over a year. And they're going, if they were to change all their stuff over, they're not going to have new stuff in their Chromebook for like 2 or 3 more years.
Yeah.
So with... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, with the Chromebooks, though, they don't necessarily control the hardware. They do with, like, their own brand, but anybody right. else so can put they want.
This would be interesting for Google to do this. To actually, like, do their own hardware.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, but they still have to support the other stuff. Like,
yeah. And in-house, because Apple doesn't, they have their hardware, but they technically don't make a lot of it. They've always, like, their chips, Qualcomm or Intel or somebody else. Now they're talking about making their chips.
Yeah.
I think I linked the wrong article. Wasn't the one I was meaning to link.
No, you didn't mean to link the Axios one?
Oh no, not that. Is that what it was?
Yeah, because it's about this. Already has its own chip for future pixels and Chromebooks.
Oh, no, that one is. Hey, look.
Okay. Yeah, it was in
No,
the
I
first
was
column.
talking about the iPhone one. Because the new iPhone is on pre-order. The iPhone SE.
Oh yeah, I don't know anything about this.
Yeah, this is like super new. And apparently you could like max out the specs on this thing. And what is it? I think it's 256 gig storage and all this with Apple's everything in it for like $600.
Interesting.
Yeah, like this is, I was liking my OnePlus stuff and I was like, well, you guys are kind of expensive now and you're trying to play ball with all the other flagship phones and you seem kind of decently standing there, but
So this looks like
iPhone's
the
still
same.
terrible.
Yeah, this looks like the same body that they had for the 8.
And I think that's kind of the idea as they're going along those lines, sort of.
Which is cool if that's the kind that you liked. Like, I like that phone style. Like, the only downside to this is there's only the one camera, which I know isn't a super big deal, but I do like the portrait effects that you can do with the two cameras. And you
That's
wouldn't
something
be
you
able to do
could.
that with just one.
Let's see. So yeah, I could. So I maxed everything out. So I'm not doing a trade in. This is off their website. I'm not doing a trade in. I chose the red one, which is for their product red. There's not actually a markup whether you go black, white, or red. 256 gigs of RAM. I could have chose T-Mobile or Sprint because they t that deal went through, but that doesn't change the price. Like it doesn't change the price for every carrier. So oh, why not just go SIM free? And activate it on any carrier. And then I could pay for AppleCare if I wanted to. That's an extra $80. Yeah, let's just do that. Let's throw that in. Extra $80. What's this? Pay monthly until canceled. Pay for 20. Pay it straight up front. $80 right up front. $630. You know that $80 almost isn't worth it, actually. And the phone is decent enough; it'll probably get you through like the next 3 years. It's got Apple's history of technology behind it. They're gonna keep it updated. Like this is a phone that, if I wasn't already invested so much into the Google ecosystem, is actually something to kind of look at.
So I can actually say that the product, like as long as you don't crack the screen or anything like that, it will last you like 3 years. I've had mine for like almost, it's been 2.5 years, and no, maybe closer to like 2 years and 1 month. But the only reason why, like, it's great, except for I actually dropped it on cement one time, and so it's like cracked on each side, but you can't notice it because the screen doesn't really go over it because it's not edge to edge.
Yeah. I admit that is something that I'm kind of like looking at. I was like, yeah, this is not as much screen as I'm used to. Did I throw that one
Yeah, but
out?
it's also quite a bit cheaper because of that too, because they don't have to use a custom panel.
I literally just posted the link to the one I made. That's funny.
So.
Yeah, it's cheaper, but anyway, yeah, it's a nice phone. And I also I'd get a case on it. Like the color doesn't matter. I usually get black ones anyways, but
I usually get a
pardon
case that's clear so I can see the whole thing.
me? I usually get a case that actually matches my phone. So it's like, eh. That's the nice thing about OnePlus is that they have all those cases that also can match your phone too. So and I
Yeah, and I
yeah,
think
I'm
the
in the Apple ecosystem, I'm just not like ingrained in
not
the Apple
in.
ecosystem.
Yeah, but if you were in the Apple ecosystem, then we wouldn't have to worry about when you accidentally text me from your iPad.
Ah, you just be annoyed in like 2 or 3 years when I decide to jump back to the Google or some other ecosystem. I don't know, actually, if certain laws end up, or if certain things end up happening with privacy rights here in a little bit, really, like if it's not a volunteer to get into system, I actually thought about, like, it could piss me off enough, I might go back to a flip phone.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, there's...
If they even have them by then.
Oh, they still have them. Flip phones are still a thing. And they're usually old people have them and minimalists have them.
Yeah.
And I might become a minimalist. Well, at least for my phone.
Actually, probably by then, most phones will be flip phones.
Ooh.
At least the clamshell design, at least.
Nah, it'll just be implanted in the eye.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
I want an iPhone.
An iPhone?
I think that was a Simpsons episode. No, no, no. I think that was on Futurama, actually.
Oh, yeah. Probably had it installed, embedded.
Yeah.
Done. That's the name of the article. About name of the episode now.
Nice. Okay. Talk about Chrome OS?
Yeah.
Okay. So I haven't heard much about, like, I know what PWAs are, like the progressive web apps, but I actually kind of thought it was kind of just a fad or something like that. But it looks like they're actually hitting it hard. And so what it is like, you have like a website, right? So say you go to like youtube.com on your phone and you want to install it. Instead of installing the app, it will actually install a progressive web app version, which is just like, it's a link to the app basically, but it has the ability to have some features offline if it's been programmed that way. And it looks like on Chrome, for a couple of apps like Twitter and YouTube TV, you don't get the app anymore. It actually just downloads the web app, which has pros and cons. Like I said, like a lot of people are saying it's not as like clean or smooth.
Mm-hmm.
Like whenever you load up the app, for example, like an actual app, you'll get the full UI, even if you don't have the internet. But whereas with this, or if you're on a slow network, it would take a little moment. It'd take a little bit for it to pop in.
You're at the mercy of your internet.
Yeah, you're at the mercy of your internet on this. But with an app, you're still at the mercy of your internet, but you still have like the full experience, like as far as the UI goes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a give and take thing. Like the only benefit that progressive web apps have is that it's easier to develop for the person making it, really. That's about it.
Well, there's that, and there's also the features you might want out of it. It also, you as the user, you have, especially on Apple, not as much on Android, it's definitely a good thing, is you have more control over the privacy rights on a progressive web app, which means like all these that have tracking software, all this, because it's through the browser, you restrict its tracking when it's not open. So you can kill when you close the app on the progressive web app. Like Instagram is their web design is actually fairly nice, and they have a good chunk of the stuff on their website that they do have on the app. There was a few minor things that I kind of wanted to use, but besides that, I actually had a progressive web. I just installed the little shortcut to their website on my phone. And I was happy with that for the most part. But what happens is when you close it, it's like closing a browser tab. The tracking's dead at that moment. It doesn't do anything. It says nothing else. It's not like the app that sits in the background that keeps on churning and tracking your location or accessing all your stuff. You can clear your cookies, which means you have to log back in again. But
I don't know how true that is, because the apps can send you notifications. So it has to be running somewhat.
They're at the mercy of the browser then.
No, because the browser can't normally do notifications.
You still have to allow browser notifications.
Yeah, but what I mean is It doesn't. What I mean is something is still running.
Not always.
In the background. If it, well, no, if it, if you want it to have, if you want to have notifications, there is something that's running. It's just not the full thing. So
but
you're
that's
not.
Thing. That's why I liked about it is with the progressive web app that I had, for like Instagram, I didn't want notifications. So when I closed the app, it was dead.
I still don't think it's completely dead. But.
And it might also depend on the how it's linked in. Because and I guess my progressive web app, it was a Chrome window, basically. So mine was whenever I clicked on this link, it opened up a Chrome window of Instagram.
Yeah, and that's what they are. Like that's how they're gonna look, so makes sense, but
I can see these being a little bit of different, like a little bit of appy appness without having to go through Chrome. Or maybe that's what they're trying to do still, is go through Chrome. It's like a Chrome add-on.
Well, that's exactly what this is, like, because it's still loading, it's still running in the browser. It's just running in a kiosk mode, basically.
Yeah, so which means you do have browser control over it. You can say this website from Chrome, you can say this website does not have notifications, does not have tracking, does not have whatever else you want to. And it's easier to do that in a browser than it is on through the app in your phone, because the apps can also lie to you, and they've been caught. Many apps have been caught doing that.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, I don't know if this is actually like, because let's say you have your let's say you have like Firefox installed. Is it going to use that, or is it going to use the Android browser?
It's probably going to be based off of what you ever use as your default browser, or with this, you know, Chrome OS app platform, it's probably going to be Chrome hardened in there for the way.
Oh, it absolutely will be for that.
Yeah. For the way I did it, it was probably based off of, it would probably get based off of how, what, whoever your default app is for your website serving.
I wonder if there's a way to test
or
that.
However you set up the link. Because you can do it off of the website. Like if you go to Instagram.com on your phone, you can create a shortcut. Actually, yeah, I don't know if you can do that with any other browser now that I think about, because I did do it through Chrome at the time.
Like I've done it on like Safari and Firefox before, but I don't know how you install it as an app, because like as soon as I go to it, it's just like get it on the App Store.
Well, sometimes they also go, oh, install a little shortcut. Yeah, okay, add Instagram to your home screen. Get Instagram quickly and easily by adding it to your home screen. So if I add Instagram to my home screen, it adds Instagram.com. I click add. Create the shortcut. I can click add again. Gee, there's a lot.
Where'd you go to do that?
Instagram.com. Like as soon as I go to it, it pops up. And yeah, it even has, so I'm using Brave. I was using Brave as the browser that went to it. It has a little Brave symbol in the bottom corner of Instagram right now. So if I open it up, its own little Brave, it's its own little Brave section. It is a standalone. It looks like, kind of looks like the app, but it is using Brave, the Brave browser completely.
Well, I don't know how to do it, but
well, that's on Android.
Much, so.
You have Apple.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you can do this on Apple. Because I've done it. Just not with Instagram.
And I know things that don't work with the browser are the live videos. Or at least they didn't used to. That was one of the things I used to watch somebody's live videos. I haven't anymore, so I couldn't get Instagram TV or whatever they call it now. But yeah, there's that. And yeah, so it does, it uses Brave. So if I close it out, it goes bye-bye.
Eh, who knows where it is? I don't.
I do.
That's all
I
good.
Promise. That's it.
It's all good.
Let's see. Now we went through all of that fun stuff. I'm pondering. Yeah. Let's do this one last thing. And then we'll end the episode this week. So remember I was talking about Peacock, another streaming channel that comes out?
Yeah.
Well, Peacock is live. Officially. But only if you have Xfinity today.
Yeah, and you don't have to pay anything either if you have them.
Nope. You don't. So if you get NBC, Universal, now streaming services, Peacock is launching on Comcast, Xfinity, and Flex customers. It launched on April 15th, no charge. Otherwise, you have to wait till July 15th. Wait 2 whole months for regular people. And it's Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it looks like they also have a, I don't know if we've gone over this before, but they have a streaming free tier, but you have like half the content.
Yeah.
Which is still substantial, so.
True. And then there's the $4.99 with ads and $9.99 without ads. But they're free. They currently have it free right now, too. You can watch their stuff for, you know, a bunch of their stuff for free with ads. A lot of the local state, you know, stations have that type of stuff, but their ads are just, there's a reason I pay for no ads. It's the reason my CBS is ad-free at the moment.
Can you get that without, or can you get that with ads?
Yeah, it,
oh,
same
yeah,
thing.
You can.
Yeah, you pay for the cheap one, you get ads. You don't pay, or you pay $10 a month, or you're currently going 30-day free trial, which I'm halfway through. I still got to burn through Picard quickly.
I got to finish Picard.
I'm only like 2 episodes in. I've not been like setting time aside for it. I got sidetracked. There's all been a lot of stuff that's been going on. Actually, I got to catch up on Devs too. I'm 1 episode behind.
On what?
Devs.
What's that?
It is a show that messes with your mind.
Oh.
And kind of like, I'd even kind of go with the, what is it? Kind of Game of Thrones mentality, not the Game of Thrones, but the idea of like, oh, you hate these people. These people are the bad guys. And as you watch, you go like, oh, you're not the bad guys. I like you as a character. And you find out like who the really bad guys are and who the, you know, who are just kind of, they have good hearts. I think the last episode's actually this week.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah. Forget if I watched it on Amazon or Hulu.
Ooh, they're rebooting Battlestar Galactica?
Why not?
Interesting.
Just gotta get everyone together. I think it's Amazon.
Who?
Devs.
Oh. I was like, Battlestar Galactica, it's on the article about Peacock.
I was wrong. It's on Hulu. Never mind. It's on Hulu. That is what officially is on.
Okay.
So it's on FX and on Hulu. See, I got too many streaming services. I don't even care. Like, I'm just like, oh, we'll just watch this on like online. What did you watch it on? The internet?
Yes, the internet.
And I don't know what I watch it when I want to, and Yeah, it has Nick Offerman in it. It's kind of weird, like, seeing him from, like, Parks and Rec. Like, when I first saw him, I was like, huh, I don't know if I can take this guy seriously. And I'm like, by the end of the first episode, I took him serious. Like, super serious.
He's good.
Yeah. He's interesting. But I guess with that, we probably should end this episode this week with some famous last words. Do you have any this week, finally, Anthony?
No, I don't. Especially this week.
All right. Well, you know, being a podcast, I have some friends from all around the world. In fact, I have a friend who's a Russian sound engineer. And I have a Czech one, too. Czech one, too.
Okay.
You're so thrilled, I could tell. Here, everyone's just groans across the world now.